I promise on my honor to be faithful and loyal to Ghana, my motherland. I pledge myself to the service of Ghana with all my strength and with all my heart. I promise to hold in high esteem our heritage won for us through the blood and toil of our fathers. And I pledge myself in all things to uphold and defend the good name of Ghana, so help me God.
The time is 6 o'clock. This is Radio Ghana, the news presented by Samuel Essan. In the headlines, today marks 46 years of Ghana's first coup d'etat. Former Education Minister Betty Moldi Drisu damns critics calling for her arrest. World leaders renew commitment to put Somalia back on track. Former UN Secretary General Kofi Annan appointed special envoy to Syria. And 24-year-old US soldier faces legal action for leaking classified documents to WikiLeaks. Here's the summary by Jennifer Adulabi.
Exactly 46 years ago today, Ghana experienced its first ever coup d'etat. Dr. Kwame Nkrumah, the country's first president, was overthrown by a combined force of the army and the police. This happened just 9 years after Dr. Nkrumah had accomplished the mission of independence from the British. Radio Ghana will take you down memory lane on the 1966 coup. Former Minister of Education, Mrs. Betty Moldi Drisu, has responded to critics who were calling for her arrest in the role she played in the controversial 51 million judgment debt. She has expressed disappointment that such statements are coming from persons with high positions in governance and in politics. In a statement issued by the former educational minister's lawyers, Gazi and Associates, Mrs. Moldi Drisu reiterated that she acted properly, both administrational and professionally, as Attorney General. World leaders have renewed their commitment to assist Somalia fight piracy, terrorism, and political instability. After a meeting in London, the leaders agreed on a 7-point plan promising more humanitarian aid, support for AU peacekeepers, and better international coordination. The UN and Arab League have appointed former UN Secretary General Kofi Annan as an envoy to Syria. In a statement, the UN said Mr. Annan will provide good offices aimed at bringing an end to all violence and human rights violations and promote a peaceful solution to the Syrian crisis. And the US soldier accused of leaking classified documents to WikiLeaks has chosen not to enter a plea at the start of his court martial. The 24-year-old soldier could face a life term if found guilty.
Radio Ghana News, bringing you fair, accurate, regional and global news. We are total.
The news in detail. Today is exactly 46 years when Ghana experienced its first ever coup d'etat. On 24 February 1966, a combined force of the army and the police overthrew the country's first ever president, Osagyefo Dr. Kwame Nkrumah, 9 years after he accomplished the mission of independence from the British colonial masters. The 1966 coup happened when Dr. Nkrumah was pursuing peace in Hanoi, Vietnam. It is described by many as the bane of Ghana's development. This is because countries like Malaysia and India were at the same level of development with Ghana, but the coup came to widen the gap. Radio Ghana's Rita Ofosu-Atete takes us through memory lane.
The 1966 coup was the genesis of the chain of military interventions which ended in 1992 when Ghana went multi-party in 1992. The event occurred when Dr. Kwame Nkrumah and his Convention People's Party were in unfettered control of affairs. Dr. Nkrumah as president had begun putting up massive development projects. The completed ones included the huge Akonsomo Dam, Valco, the Tema City and motorway, Dema and Takoradi harbors, and other projects still deemed important today. Many were those who loved Dr. Nkrumah and showered praises on him. But the story changed when the country began facing socioeconomic challenges. Dr. Nkrumah lost his popularity as many described him as a dictator and leveled other negative charges. On the 24th of February 1966, the army and police cashed in on the rising social discontent to end his rule. The coup makers, made up of British trained officers called the National Liberation Council NLC, were led by Colonel E.K. Kotoka. During that time, Dr. Nkrumah was paying an official visit to Chairman Mao in Beijing. NLC claimed the coup was to end corruption and change the constitution in order to get Ghana back on the democratic line. The announcement was made on the airwaves of the state broadcaster, GBC.
Fellow citizens of Ghana, I have come to inform you that the armed forces, in cooperation with the police, have taken over the government of Ghana. Parliament is hereby dissolved. The TPP has been disbanded and it will be illegal for anybody to belong to it. Kwame Nkrumah and all his ministers are dismissed from office. The myth surrounding Kwame Nkrumah has been broken today. I appeal to all civil servants to remain at their posts. Please stay by your radios for detailed information later.
The chairman of the National Liberation Council, Lieutenant General J.A. Nkrumah, made his first broadcast to the nation this evening. He explained the reasons which necessitated the overthrow of the Kwame Nkrumah dictatorial regime, as well as the policies which the National Liberation Council intends to pursue to put this country on the right road to national prosperity. We bring you extracts of Lieutenant General Nkrumah's broadcast.
One man has collected all power into his own hands with the pretentious claim that he enjoyed the unqualified and absolute support of the 7 million people of this country. This man was Kwame Nkrumah, Africa's number one tyrant and dictator. The right of the people to vote at a free general election for their own chosen candidate were reduced to a formal and farcical privilege of sanctioning the election of said candidates as Kwame Nkrumah himself nominated. His love for the arbitrary use of power, as is well known to you all, led him to whittle away gradually the independence of the judiciary and to suppress academic freedom, fundamentals upon which the rights and freedom of the individual are based. He brought Ghana to the brink of economic disaster by mismanagement, waste, and unwise spending. Incomes are falling, the cost of living is rising, unemployment has struck many families, the basic necessities of life are often either unavailable or can be obtained only at cutthroat price. Yet, Ghana is rich in natural resources.
Security officials working under Dr. Nkrumah moved swiftly in an attempt to safeguard the country. Colonel Zelerego, retired, is an 81-year-old man who was then the bodyguard of Dr. Nkrumah. Colonel Zelerego told me he and other security men had prior information about the coup, but could not communicate it to Dr. Nkrumah.
On the 21st of February 1966, we had a meeting with the Principal Secretary for Security Affairs for the President. He told us that there's a rumor that there's going to be a coup, and so he wanted to inform all of us. So he told us that he was warning us to be alert. And so when he said there's a rumor, I asked him whether I could bring some of my troops who were staying in Shire Hills, about 35 miles outside Accra.
During that time that you heard that there's going to be a coup, did you inform your boss, Dr. Nkrumah?
No, he had left the country for China. Oh, no, I did not. In fact, the one who could have done that would have been the principal secretary in charge of security, but not me. No. As a soldier, we don't go to that extent.
Dr. Nkrumah's family were immediately secured in a guard room and later flown to Cairo, Egypt. So, how did Dr. Nkrumah react to the news in Guinea, where he had gone to seek asylum?
Fellow countrymen, men and women of Ghana, once again, I speak to you from Conakry on Radio Guinea's Voice of the African Revolution. In Mexico today, I tell you that the Sentinel's anti-police rebellion in Ghana was instigated and sponsored by neo-colonialist enemies of Ghana, Ghanaians, rather than on printing stand of Ghana against imperialism and neo-colonialism.
The 1966 coup ignited the debate on whether or not Ghana was better off, with the timing and impact of that event. As the debate on the 1966 coup lingers, the generality of Ghanaians agree that military takeovers are a drawback to the country's democratic ascendancy and must be perpetually confined to history.
That was a feature by Rita Fosuatete on the 24th February 1966 coup, which occurred 46 years ago. Meanwhile, Dr. Kwame Nkrumah's overthrow has been captured in so many books with many political twists. Many others who witnessed the event also have varying versions on how and why it happened. KB Asante was a presidential staffer who worked closely with Dr. Nkrumah at the then seat of government, Flagstaff House. He analyzes the factors which led to his overthrow in this interview with Radio Ghana's Rosemary Daisy.
Naturally, he was a human being, and the assassination attempts made him more cautious and began not to trust everybody around him. And then those who were planning planted stories about those who were helping him, so it made things difficult for him. But you see, a dreamer like Nkrumah wants people to work for him. So he had a dream, but somebody must do it. And people like Adamafew, he relied a lot on Adamafew, who was later accused of treason. So eventually he had to rely on people who were not that focused, or who did not share his views, who perhaps will be more in tune with what Kankanyame will say and so on.
We hear many Ghanaians celebrated his overthrow, but can you tell us what was the real situation?
Quite clear that people celebrated, because, you know, there was some hardship. At Champon's time, we used to talk about essential commodities, milk, sugar and things, which the few in Accra thought were very important, and they were unhappy. Of course, there were other things which were short, and people were generally unhappy. Then a few things like the Preventive Detention Act was unpopular. Not only that, it was misused by some of Nkrumah's aides. People were detained without knowledge of Nkrumah. As usual, our prisons officers are officials. Sometimes we are afraid of politicians. A politician takes somebody to the jail and says, put him in. Osagyefo says he should come. Instead of demanding that the legal process was fulfilled, a prison governor should not take anybody in except on the strength of a court order or a preventive detention act signed by Kwame Nkrumah himself. And after the coup, we found many people should not have been maintained. And that's why the coup makers will highlight the bad things which they've come to remove. So many people were just not happy.
Mr. Asante, you were on his errand. How did the news get to you, and how did you react to it?
Oh, Diallo Tele, who was then Secretary General, came to me and said, this has happened. Asked me what he should do. So I said, he should do nothing for the time being, for next 4 hours. Because we got to know that they were attacking Flasab House. And I knew that we had a very good officer, Colonel Zanrigo, and he would defend it. Also, I happen to know some of the security arrangements. At that time, I didn't know Bawa had been killed. 4 hours later, we found that the coup had more or less succeeded. It happened that around about that time, there was an OAU meeting. They were on their way to Hanoi when it happened. So he sent the foreign minister, Kunsaki, to represent him as the legitimate government of Ghana. And then the military government also sent another delegation. And so there was a problem. The OAU didn't know what to do. And I told Diallo Tele to hold on. And that Nkrumah's delegate may not come. And he didn't come.
When was the last time you communicated with Osagyefo whilst you were in Addis Ababa?
It was 3 weeks before the coup. I communicated with him in person and I left.
That was the last time?
It was the last time. I never met him again. I'm not going to Hanoi. I asked him not to go. And he said people say he can do much. I said, no, this is big power politics. And I don't think you'll be able to make a successful intervention.
Did you foresee this coming?
No. To frankly, I was only thinking of the Hanoi trip. And I thought he wouldn't succeed. It was something which the Americans were bent on doing to the major policy, and Nkrumah would not be able to modify it as he wanted to.
Did the overthrow of Nkrumah silence him and perhaps members of his government?
Yes, it challenged many of them. One minister said in Nkrumah's time, and they became gaping sycophants. Unfortunately, there were only a few who stood firm by him. Again, it shows an unpleasant side of our character. I would have expected a few close political allies to be strong and say something good about him and to criticize the coup, but we all kept quiet.
How did you leave the scene at Addis Ababa?
I was invited by the military government. Now, when the coup occurred, my house was surrounded and the soldiers went in to arrest me. When the children told them I was away, they didn't believe it. I was away. I think they had the orders, obviously, who there were certain people who were close to Nkrumah who should be arrested, and I was in. Then, strange, it was the military government which invited me to come back to Accra.
You heard KB Asante, once a presidential staffer who worked closely with Osagyefo, in that interview with Rosemary Gezi. This news comes to you from Radio Ghana, Accra. The media stories. Today marks 46 years of Ghana's first coup d'etat. Former Education Minister Betty Moby-Bissou replies critics calling for her arrest. World leaders renew commitment to put Somalia back on track. Former UN Secretary General Kofi Annan appointed special envoy to Syria, and 24-year-old U.S. soldier faces legal action for leaking classified documents to WikiLeaks. Please stay tuned.
Radio Ghana News, bringing you fair, accurate, regional and global news. We are total.
Welcome back. The Progressive People's Party, PPP, says its program slated for tomorrow is meant to educate and inform people on preparations made by the party to elect its flag bearer and parliamentary candidates. The founder, Dr. Parkwisindum, noted that the party has fulfilled all legal requirements and will send a formal protest to the GNA. Dr. Ndum was speaking on Radio Ghana's current affairs program Behind the News.
We've done everything according to the letter and spirit of the law. The Saturday program, which we are very, very much ready for, to educate our people, to inform our people, to let the Ghanaian people know what preparations we have made to elect our flag bearer and to elect parliamentary candidates and to govern the affairs of our party. So it is an information session. It's a get-together and to let our people and Ghanaians know what is it that we're about and to seek membership all over and let people know the brilliance that we are bringing, the enthusiasm we are bringing, and the people that we are putting to the table. We don't take this DNA story lightly. We will send a formal protest tomorrow because we believe that it's a deliberate act committed by somebody at DNA intended to destroy and disrupt our program.
You heard the founder of the Progressive People's Party, Dr. Parkwesi Ndum. Former Minister of Education, Mrs. Betty Moldi-Drisu, has responded to calls for her arrest for the role she played in the controversial 51 million judgment debt. In a statement issued by her lawyers, Dazi and Associates, Mrs. Moldi-Drisu said she feels distressed that such statements are coming from persons holding high positions in governance and in politics. She said it is rather strange that high personalities, including the minority leader in parliament, Osaichi Mensah-Bonsu, and the general secretary of the NPP, Kwejo Osefuye, would want to direct, instruct, and stampede the police in their investigation. The statement described minority leader Osaichi Mensah-Bonsu's allegation that Mrs. Moldi-Drisu did not only order payment but supervised payment to Mr. Woyome as not only false but palpably scandalous and defamatory, intended to bring their client to public ridicule. This is because the only payment made by the state to Mr. Woyome during her tenure as Attorney General was made in pursuance to a High Court order dated 7th September 2010. Mrs. Moldi-Drisu said it is unfortunate that the efforts of state institutions would appear to be undermined by people who have sworn to uphold and defend constitutionally mandated institutions. She reiterated that she acted properly both administratively and professionally as Attorney General. Now to the health sector, where following reports of an outbreak of cerebrospinal meningitis, CSM, in the Upper East region, which claimed 16 lives, the Director of Health Services, Dr. Awuna Williams, says vaccination exercises are ongoing by health workers to help eradicate the disease. Speaking on Behind the News, Dr. Williams said people with the disease should report early to health centers for treatment. He said most people with the disease resort to visiting other places for a cure instead of health centers.
We have teams in the district. We are vaccinating communities where we have reached our threshold, where we have alert signals that this community, there are more cases than we vaccinate. The difficult thing is that sometimes when cases occur, we have to do also investigations to target the particular organism that is involved. And that is why we are saying that, yes, people will get meningitis, people will get CSM, but please report early so that we can do early investigation and early treatment. People who have signs and symptoms of CSM, everybody now in Upper East know what they should report early in our health facility. We have difficulties of people having symptoms and they delay in the home, they go to prayer camps, they go to soothsayers, they go to traditional healers. And when everything is all gone bad, then they resort to the hospitals as the last resort.
Now, the Upper East Regional Director of Health Services, Dr. Wuna Williams, speaking on Behind the News. Though physical therapy is important for good health, most people are not aware of it. The members of the Ghana Association of Physiotherapists, GAP, have therefore met in Accra to deliberate on ways to improve their services to the public and create awareness on the importance of physiotherapy. Sandra Danso reports.
The meeting, which is the first by the association, brought together stakeholders from the health sector, focusing on the need to improve upon the quality of physiotherapy delivery in healthcare institutions. The president of the Ghana Association of Physiotherapists, Alan Akaba, said practitioners face many challenges, but they have pledged to do their best to help people who need their services.
So we started training physiotherapists in Ghana. We've grown in size, and I think it's a high time we update our skills and our knowledge through some research work, put our findings together and share. We know that many people are not very conversant with what physios do. So this will be another forum to really educate people, so that people will really know what physios do. We are virtually part of all the healthcare delivery services, right from preventive to rehabilitation, you know. And you can see that this is the time for the health delivery general. We can save costs if we're able to prevent conditions so that we don't have to be dependent on drugs.
Sandra Danso reporting. The Executive Director of UNAIDS, Michelle Sidibe, has asked African countries to step up efforts to eliminate mother-to-child infections of HIV. That it is unacceptable that in Africa, 400,000 babies are born with HIV. Mr. Sidibe, who is also an Undersecretary General of the UN, said it is more expensive to treat babies with HIV than to prevent mother-to-child infection. Mr. Sidibe stated this when he toured the La General Hospital and Dan Adams Pharmaceuticals in Accra. This forms part of his working visit to Ghana to mark the 10th anniversary of the Ghana AIDS Commission. African countries need to deepen efforts to implement sound financial policy reforms which will strengthen the institutions. This will make African economies more robust and resilient to withstand external shocks like the recent global economic downturn. To this end, the African Governance Outlook Study, adopted by the African Development Bank, is working with West African countries to help them adopt methods to identify constraints in financial governance and find possible ways of redress. The Executive Secretary of the African Capacity Building Foundation, ACBF, Dr. Fanny Lotia, was speaking at the opening of the Phase 2 of the African Governance Outlook Study in Accra. We'll be back after this break.
Radio Ghana News, bringing you fair, accurate, regional and global news. We are total.
The rest of the news. World leaders have pledged to boost support for measures to fight piracy, terrorism and political instability in Somalia after a meeting in London. The conference agreed on a 7-point plan promising more humanitarian aid, support for AU peacekeepers and better international coordination. U.S. Secretary of State Hillary Clinton said the world must keep Islamist militant group Al-Shabaab on the run. Mrs. Clinton ruled out talks with Al-Shabaab, saying its decision to join forces with Al-Qaeda shows it is not on the side of peace, stability, or the Somali people. The UN and Arab League have appointed former UN Secretary General Kofi Annan as their envoy to Syria. Mr. Annan has in recent years acted as a diplomatic troubleshooter in several long-running conflicts. In a statement, the UN said Mr. Annan would provide good offices aimed at bringing an end to all violence and human rights violations and promoting a peaceful solution to the Syrian crisis. Meanwhile, the UN panel has drawn up a confidential list of Syrian military officials believed to include President Assad, who could face investigation for crimes against humanity. The U.S. soldier accused of leaking classified documents to WikiLeaks has chosen not to enter a plea at the start of his court martial. The 24-year-old soldier was read the 22 charges against him at a hearing at Fort Meade, Maryland. If found guilty of leaking and aiding what the U.S. described as an enemy, he could face a life term. Private Manning, who was arrested in May 2010, appeared for a pre-trial hearing in December, following which a court martial was recommended. The hearing offered the defendant an opportunity to state his case personally, as well as defer a plea on whether to be tried by a military jury or a single judge. Turn the news around once again. Exactly 46 years ago today, Ghana experienced its first ever coup d'etat. Dr. Kwame Nkrumah, the country's first president, was overthrown by a combined force of the army and the police. Former Minister of Education, Mrs. Betty Mubidiso, has responded to critics who are calling for her arrest in the role she played in the controversial 51 million judgment debt. She has expressed disappointment that such statements are coming from persons with high positions in governance and politics. And world leaders have renewed their commitment to assist Somalia fight piracy, terrorism, and political instability. The news